News Time, 9:07. Good morning, everybody. I'm Dale Desmond. This is Southern U Talk. It is the third Thursday. Normally, we have the Hurricane Mayor on. But I know they're doing some change over there, so we are going to keep moving forward. We're playing some Rolling Stones to start things up and start it up. But we talked about this in the 7 o'clock hour. Today is Keith Richards' birthday. Now, if you don't know, if you weren't listening earlier, if you don't know, I'm curious, how old do you think Keith Richards, one of the founding members of the Rolling Stones, how old do you think Keith Richards is? If you're his age, if you guys were, you know, might be celebrating a birthday the same day, you probably know. I'm curious what you think. You can text in your guesses. Our new text line, 435-261-4540. We're going to get into a lot of stuff today. We're going to get into reactions. I want to know everybody's thoughts on President Trump's speech last night. Your reaction to it. I think there's a lot of people, and we'll get into the different variety of listeners here on KDXU. I know a lot of folks are I'm a Trump person. We are Trump people. We follow Trump no matter what. Other people are, I like the conservative movement. I don't necessarily like Trump. I wish he would put his phone down and be the president, and don't let ego drive, his decisions. Other people are, Trump is a knucklehead and couldn't think his way out of a box. He's a big mouth, blah, 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 blowhard, all that stuff. I know there's people that listen to the station that are on all sides of that and probably some, blends of all of those. And so I would love to know your guys' thoughts. If you want to call in, the call-in line, 673-5890, 673-5890. Been that number for a long time. The new text line, easy to get to here, right in the studio. If you don't want to call in, if you've got some thoughts that maybe you want to make anonymous, I mean, we're all friends here. It is Southern U Talk for a reason. 435-261-4540. I was up in Cedar last night. I bought a new dining room table. My kids are grown, as Jeremy Larkin was just talking about here a few minutes ago, downsizing. My kids are grown. My kids are in their 20s, all moved out. And the last dining room table I bought was on Halloween of 2023. Bought a really sturdy oak dining room set. When my youngest daughter was just about 6 months old, and the thing has stood through the test of time. It has moved miles and miles and across the country a couple of times. And I was buying a dining room table, downsizing off of, Facebook Marketplace. And I was driving home and got an alert. Hey, the president's about to speak. And I said, oh, yeah, that's right. I was with all the shuffle of time. I turned on the radio, listened in my truck on the way home from Cedar with a dining room table strapped down to the back of my truck and listened to the president talk. And I was struck by, my first thought was, his first things he talked about were blaming things or reverting back to President Biden's administration. And we had Rory O'Neill on today, our political insider in the 7 o'clock hour. And he was, I don't know Rory that well. He was surprisingly critical of the president, at least surprising to me. I don't know Rory that well. But he was surprisingly critical of some of the same things that popped up to me. I was surprised the president started with that, immediately blaming the Biden administration for the economy and where we're at right now. And then kind of went into some different things. I thought that was an interesting take. But I'm curious what you guys thought as the speech went on. I'd love to hear your thoughts. 673-5890, 673-5890. You can text in as well at 435-261-4540. as the speech went on, I was struck by some of the numbers that he was throwing out that I didn't think were exact numbers. And I think a lot of times the president gets caught up, he gets excited, he gets the details, 600-800% jumps in cost of prescriptions. Those, I don't know if those are even close. The pundits afterward kind of poked some holes in that. They did say, hey, you know, gas prices are coming down. He did talk about that. He did talk about the cool thing about, handing military members checks. We'll talk more about that in a little bit. If you've ever worked around somebody that is incredibly wealthy, and that's obviously a debatable term, and it's, up for debate what wealthy means. If you've ever worked with or around somebody, if you are not wealthy, if you are not, a quote unquote millionaire, I think there's a lot of millionaires these days that maybe may or may not even know it. If you've ever worked with somebody that is, I don't even know what the term is because wealthy is so debatable these days and it's so fluid. If you ever worked for or with or around somebody that is that has the mindset that they can do anything, I don't mean, godlike. I just mean if I want to buy a car dealership, I could buy a car dealership. If I want to buy, back in the day, I want to buy a newspaper, I could buy a newspaper. I've worked with people or close to people. I am not in that, definitely not in that. But what you find is that they are so high level, higher than 30,000 feet, that the details, they hire people to work out details. I have a mentality to be rich because I'm good at big picture things. I just don't have the money to be that kind of a person. I worked around a person once. Who would tell me to, I need you to work on this and this and this, and it's super important, get it done by tomorrow. And I would start working on it, and they would say the next day I'd have it partially done, and they would say, well, where are we at on this? And I'd be like, okay, I'm working on this, I'm waiting on this, I've got this in action, I'm waiting to hear back from this person on this. And then the next day, I would go report back. The third day, I'd say, here's where I'm at. And they'd say, no. I'm way past that. I am on to another thing. And the big project that 2 days previous were huge deals, all of a sudden was completely ancient history. Ancient history. Another example, my brother-in-law used to work for Melaleuca in Idaho Falls. And if anybody knows, the background or the structure of Melaleuca, the CEO of Melaleuca, Frank Vandersloot, super good guy. Obviously there's people that know him, don't like him, know him and like him. I got to know him some. Super good guy, but he kind of fits into that where he had the money and the ability to, I want to buy a newspaper. And he had my brother-in-law moving forward on buying a newspaper, trying to find out all the, and his team, his personal assistant team working on buying the newspaper in Idaho Falls. He had call it a wild hair, call it what you want. I'm sure he had an intention to it. And then a week or so later, completely pivoted away from that and was like, all of the groundwork you guys have done, all the background you guys have done, we're not doing this anymore. The newspaper, let's not even think about it. I don't want to buy a newspaper. Newspapers are dying. I don't want to buy a newspaper. I feel like the Trump kind of gets into that where the details are kind of, I don't know. To some people, 800% is the same as 400% because they have so much money. They have so much, maybe it's not even money, but it's, I've got such a big, vision of where I want to go that this little 400% change down here in the corner doesn't, I'm thinking about 100 other things. If I say 400%, if I say 800%, was sorry, whatever. So I think, and maybe, I mean, being an apologist, I don't really think of myself as a Trump person. And we talked about this when Andy was transitioning out. He said, where do you align politically? I said, I'm definitely a right-leaning moderate, I would say. And I think a lot of people are that way. I talked to somebody yesterday, a good friend of mine, business owner here in St. George. And as we were walking into the chamber meeting, the chamber lunch yesterday, after we chatted with Sean Christensen yesterday here on Southern Utah, I said I was walking into this meeting with a friend of mine who's a business owner. And I said, hey, this, you know, speech is going to happen tonight. What do you think he's going to say? And he said, you know, I hope we talk about certain things. And he said, I do wish Trump would stop running his mouth, put his phone away, and be president and be a solid leader. Because, and I think there's a lot of people that feel that way. Now, there, like I said, there are forever Trumpers, as I like to call them. It doesn't matter what he does, what he says, he's the greatest, he's the best, and they'll die on the sword for Trump and whatever he says, whatever he does, they're an apologist for, and will defend him to the death. Now, do I think there are people, and I know for a fact, I was reminded once again yesterday that there are a lot of people in the middle. And I think a lot of America, and I think a good chunk of Southern Utah are right-leaning conservatives. Right-leaning moderates. I think there's a lot of people in the middle that are social moderates, fiscal conservatives. They're certainly not open to having the borders wide open. They're certainly not open to giving out free welfare to anybody and anybody from any walk of life. Anybody or everybody from any walk of life that can get, if you can get here, you're welcome to all of our welfare. That's, I think there's a lot of people against that. But then I think there's a lot of people going, gosh, global warming it's certainly not cooling off. And is that a thing? How can we talk about this? Maybe there is something to it. Maybe there's something I'm doing. Maybe there's something we can have an impact on our future, whatever. Healthcare reform, gosh, it's expensive. What can we do about this? I think a lot of people go, we don't have the answer. The far right and the far left, I don't think those are the great answer either. But I do think that the answer is somewhere in the middle. Last night's speech from President Trump, I think a lot of the details, a lot of the overall message was, hey, we're moving forward. I think some of the details, people will definitely, the far left will try to peel corners back and go, ah, he's a liar. Oh, he's telling, Chuck Schumer say? He's, out of touch with reality, due to a lot of the details that Trump said. I don't think Trump is a details person. And maybe he thinks he does, maybe he's not. I don't think he's a details person. And so when he says things, folks that are critics of Trump want to jump on it and they want to peel back these corners. Oh, that was, he said 400% on prescriptions, and he said 800% on prescriptions. And he said, I don't think Trump is a details guy. I think he just kind of fires off things, and it's dangerous. I do. I think it's dangerous. I think there's times he needs to be a details person. I said this earlier. I've never been a details person. I'm a big picture guy. Probably got a little touch of ADD, ADHD, or ADD, or some alphabetic soup of those. But I've always hired details people around me to help me to mitigate my weakness in that part. And I have to defer to them when I have to be detail oriented. I know for a fact that Trump has detailed oriented people around him. And there's times where you have to slow down, read the teleprompter, read your notes, make sure the numbers are right. Because, and maybe you don't care. Maybe Trump doesn't care. You're like, hey, left, they can peel back all the corners they want. They can scream and yell about, you know, drilling down on numbers if they want. But and he maybe doesn't care. Maybe he's fine with that argument and then fighting those battles. My overall takeaway was I think the economy is coming back. I think there's parts that are bad. There's parts that are good. I think it's kind of like Gravity Hill in Salt Lake. Anybody gone to Gravity Hill in Salt Lake? I know a lot of folks from Southern Utah are from Northern Utah. Gravity Hill is an optical illusion, right? I mean, you put your car in neutral, and you know for a fact you are pointed downhill. Your car is pointed downhill, and you put it neutral, and you start rolling backward, depending on which way you're pointed, right? I feel like the economy's kind of that way, where it's in the short term, maybe doing not well, but we're coming along. The overall picture, the overall big picture is we're doing okay. So let's not get caught up on Gravity Hill, the financial Gravity Hill. Let's take the big picture. Especially critics want to zoom in and nitpick little things when we should be zooming out. And we should do this really in all parts of our lives. We should be doing this in all parts of our lives where we go, okay, I stubbed my toe this morning, but my daughter is getting married to an incredible person and they're doing well. He's got a great job. She's got a great job, blah, blah, blah. This is a metaphor. But don't focus on your stubbed toe. Focus on, hey, there are a million things going good. And we'll see how these, we'll watch these little things. We'll watch the stubbed toe. Hopefully it's not bleeding. Hopefully it's not broken. Put some ice on it for a minute and it'll be fine. Whatever you got to do. Let's keep an eye on the big picture here that the economy seems to be going well. We've got texts coming in. You can text me 435-261-4540. If you think I'm a total moron, I want you to tell me, or somewhere in between. 673-5890. The number to call, the lines are open, 673-5890. I'm going to be gone tomorrow taking a humanitarian trip to the Navajo Reservation, helping out with the St. George Rotary Club. Got a text coming in. Let's see, is this today? Yeah, I don't see a name. Maybe it's farther up. I'm more of center when it comes to politics. I did not watch last night because I knew the script. He wasn't going to admit mistakes. He was going to pass blame on previous administrations, which he did right off the top. You're right. His decorum isn't great. He has his moments. For every step forward he takes being a human, he takes two steps back. If he could work on that, he may gain more popularity. At the end of the day, both parties use us as pawns, and to remain in power, make promises they rarely keep. Okay. I like that. That was a text coming in from Chad. Text, you can text me, tell me your thoughts, 435-261-4540. You can get your thoughts on the radio. You want to jump in, you want to do, a debate, you want to agree, you want to disagree, maybe part of what I'm saying you're up with. I'd love to hear your voice. I'd love to think that you have a thought on this that you'd like to share. We're going to come back, take some calls, some more of these texts, 673-5890. Lines are open. We're going to take a quick break. We'll come right back and try and load up some phones. It's a Thursday, guys. Does it feel like Friday? We're a week away from Christmas, guys. A week away from Christmas. I hope your Christmas shopping is going well. All right, lines are open, 673-5890, 673-5890. You can text me, 435-261-4540. It's Southern U Talk with Dale Desmond. Good morning. KDXU News Time is 9:31. A gorgeous, gorgeous morning in Southern Utah. I'm trying to find my phone. I want to get exactly the... All right, 40 degrees currently here in Southern Utah. Got your texts coming in. You can text me, 435-261-4540. Here's Southern Utah On the phone, we got our political insider, Jimmy Kesten, spending a few minutes with us. Jimmy, did you watch, did you listen last night? What are your thoughts on the President Trump's speech last night? He kind of started off blaming the previous administration, and had some good, had some bad, had some detailed things that were left some heads scratching after the speech. What do you think? What were some of your thoughts coming out of it?
Well, yeah, I mean, first things first, I think in general we have to say this was a terrific speech by the president. It was 19 minutes. This is the most disciplined speech Donald Trump may have ever given. And, of course, still within that context, it's Donald Trump. So his speaking style is always going to leave openings for people to, get their proverbial panties in a knot and get all frustrated. But the truth is, while there are always going to be people that take issue with the president's style, it's impossible to argue with the reality of the situation. Donald Trump did inherit a mess. I was not in a coma from 2021 to 2025. I actually was awake for, virtually the entire Biden administration. It was a mess. I remember $5 gasoline.
Yeah.
I remember, I don't buy eggs as regularly, but yeah, I know egg prices, but I'll tell you what, avocados went, from, doubled in price during the Biden administration, and now they're back down to where they were a few years ago. Right down the line, we're seeing prices are starting to come down, and the truth is that everything that was passed in the big, beautiful bill, almost none of that has actually taken effect yet. There are certainly some things that have, but most of the stuff in the big, beautiful bill that will affect yours and my life personally, we won't experience till we file our taxes. So for, somewhere between February and April, people are going to begin to realize how different your income is. Your paychecks are going to start going up because withholding is going to be adjusted for 2026. Right. So you're actually going to get an increase in take home pay, even if you didn't get a raise, because federal withholding is going to reflect the new tax rates. You're going to get a bigger tax refund in 2026 because you had the higher withholding in 2025, but you're getting the tax cut from the big, beautiful bill. So you're going to get a bigger refund.
Right.
We're going to have the economy is going to take off. Plus, inflation has come back down. It's under control. That doesn't mean that prices won't continue to go up on some things.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
But wages are going up higher. And if you're taking home more money, then you can buy more things.
Right. And I think there's a lot of people that are pointing to gas prices. Hey, this is the first indicator that things are getting better.
Yeah.
We talked about it yesterday with, I guess it was Tuesday, with Brandon Hansen, Guild Mortgage here. He talked about how, the interest rates got cut, or the Fed cut rates, but we're not quite seeing it yet. I think a lot of people are like, hey, I want it now. They're like, we're like Veruca Absolutely. Salt. We're like Veruca Salt in Willy Wonka, I want it now.
We become a very impatient people in the social media and internet age.
Yeah.
When Ronald Reagan came in, I'm old enough, I lived through the Carter years. So I've been through this once before where, Ronald Reagan inherited a disaster, much like Donald Trump inherited a disaster. They went right to work and they passed some legislation and they passed the tax cuts. But you know what? That was 1981. We didn't start experiencing the benefits of the Reagan economy till the end of the first term, almost the beginning of the second term. That's how long it took for those changes to take effect. That wouldn't work today.
No.
a two-year plan to get fixed was broken. No one's paying attention.
Yeah, yeah. Well, but the thing is I don't think things have. Maybe marginally moved. You know, faster. We've got emails. We've got phone calls where, you know, you don't have to wait for a letter to arrive or, you know, my dad used to say the wheels of justice grind exceedingly slow, but exceedingly fine. I don't think that's changed. I think the perception of the public is still what it was. I mean,
right.
Is different. Politics don't move any faster, necessarily, but our, impatience, I think, it certainly is shorter than it was 30, 40 years ago.
And, you know, it was, and in that light, there are certainly some things that were able to be done. And gasoline is the key. You know, they did increase supply to bring, to ease some prices in, you know, in food prices. But the big thing is energy. And because the president was able to turn the tap back on and get gas prices down right away, even though most of the benefits of the repair of the Biden economy won't be felt till next year, I paid $2.45 for gas on the Arizona Strip this week. You know, that is huge. That affects the price of everything because everything we buy in St. George, Utah comes by truck.
Yep. Just about,
trucks use diesel fuel.
Well,
and diesel fuel is a buck and a half a gallon cheaper than it was a year ago.
Yeah. No, I was going to make a comment about the dairy processing plant out there on River Road that's smelling up the place, but that's trucked in too. They don't have a dairy close by, so
their products. There are any cows. There are no cows out there.
There are none. We'll get into that into the final segment, by the way. But we've got Jimmy Keston, political insider, here for a few more minutes. Jimmy, got a text coming in that says I like Trump. He has closed the border. A country will never be succeeded if borders are open. I'm guessing that means a country will never succeed if the borders were open. I think that's what that means.
I'm sure that's what he meant or she meant.
Yeah.
And, you know, look, that is a much bigger deal than people realize, and it is having an effect on cost of living. I agree with the administration. You bring, you know, whether it was 10 million or 20 million, doesn't matter. You bring that many people in that need to be housed and then give them government money to pay for their housing, you're increasing demand and without increasing supply. And basic economics say if you increase demand without increasing supply, prices go up. And that's what happened to housing. That's what happened to rents.
Yeah.
Plus the high interest rates on mortgage. That's why it's been so expensive. You take all of that now. You remove 2 million illegals who self-deported and almost a million that were helped in their exit.
That were given the help at the end of a boot, right?
Their travel plans were made, you know, compliments of Pete Hegseth. It is opening up a more availability for housing, and that will have an effect. But all these things do take a little time. But because the president was able to get energy prices down as fast and as far as they are, we are seeing some initial benefits from this and from closing the border, because closing the border also helped the economy. We did get a little immediate gratification, and that is that's at least keeping a full revolt from going on.
Yeah, I'm curious. Also, we had our other political insider, Rory O'Neill, called in today. Yeah. He was talking about how he said this money that the bonuses for the troops, $1,776 to our troops. He said, I don't know how the math works on that. If it's, you know, private donors or if it actually is proceeds from the tariffs. But it seemed like something that wasn't necessarily sprung, but I'm curious, is that something Congress has to pass off on?
Boy, I tell you what, that is a great question, and I would love to tell you that I could give you the absolute answer this morning. And I actually been looking, because when the president said it, I actually shouted at my television, amen.
Amen.
Thank you, Mr. President.
Yeah.
And I'm not in the military, but I am a huge supporter of our military and our veterans. And this is our enlisted men. I believe it's pay grade 0 to 6. All those kids who are serving our country have a check on the way. I don't know how they pay for it, but let's just say that the president went out on a limb and offered $1,776 to every enlisted man in the military, and let's just say he needed a vote in Congress.
Yeah.
Do you think that is, who's voting against that?
Right. That's what Rory said. He said, Rory said that exact same thing. He said, good luck for any politician that's going to vote against that. Now, will there be, you know, some far left constituents from far left parts of the country that will say, you know, we're for it, but where's it coming from and at what cost?
At some we'll point see. You're probably going to get some of those complaints, but you know something, even the far left, as much as they must hate this because they aren't big fans of the military, they're keeping their mouth shut this morning about that.
They're
complaining about other stuff in the speech. No one's complaining about taking care of the troops on Christmas. And like I say, even if they needed congressional help to deal with the funding side, who in their right minds voting against that? AOC would vote for that, I would think.
For sure, for
sure. I mean, there'll be a couple Democrats, you know, crazy.
Right.
But, that's not a problem. And, it is very much like the president to announce the plan and then say, okay, now how are we going to make that actually happen?
Right. Yeah. What did you call ready, fire, aim is what I know. It's I think if this were on the flip side, you know, I think if this were announced by President Biden, then, you know, people say, oh, this is massive spending. Great. We want to do it. Where are we coming from? I'm curious how this will
it's a sizable amount of money, but certainly in the when you frame it against the federal budget, it's not much of anything. I certainly, there's a case that be made that it is spending money that we don't have because we do not have a balanced budget. Therefore, no matter where they say they're getting the funding from, it is deficit spending.
Yeah.
And so there is a case to be made that this is a frivolous spending of tax dollars that really isn't necessary, and it's money we don't have, but it's Christmas and it's our troops.
Yeah.
You know what? With all the money we waste, let's cut something else. And give our soldiers the money.
I like it. Jimmy, thank you so much for spending a couple of minutes with us. Our political insider, Jimmy Keston, right here from Southern Utah. Thank you so much, buddy.
Always a pleasure. Have a blessed day.
You too, buddy. All right. I'd love to hear what you guys think. You can always text in 435-261-4540, the number to text in. You can call in 673-5890. I got a quick text here from my boy Roy. We're impatient. We are an impatient bunch in this nation. When you think back to the start of the year, which Trump did not have until after January 21st of 2025, 231 days, which 13 days left to finish the year. Seems like he's done tons of things and done more than the disastrous 4 years of Biden in the administration. That makes a good point that there's been a lot that's happened. He talked about it in his speech last night. He talked about how he's tried to keep peace in all over the world, and he's brokered several different peace agreements that are in various stages of solidarity. And he's been busy with that, for sure. Will people find things to peel back and still hate on no matter what Trump says or does? I think so. And I'm curious how things go. It's only like Roy said, Roy makes a good point. You know, you've got 200 and some odd days into this. So we'll see. We'll see how this goes. We're going to pivot next segment. We're going to pivot to the weird smells around southern Utah. And it's not just up River Road. Talk about it here. Coming up after the break, this is Southern Utalk. I'm Dale Desmond on News Radio 890, 92.5 and 106.1 KDXU. It just takes some time. KDXU News Time 949. Here on News Radio 890, 92.5 and 106.1. We're all over the place. There is on your Alexa. We're on your any of the home devices. We are on your, we have the app. You can download the app. You can listen at work on the website. There is no excuse to find the incredible sounds of Bing Crosby. As we are a week away from Christmas, can you believe that? We are a week away. Where did 2025 go? Are you with me? Where did 2025 go? I swear, just a couple of weeks ago, I was, sweltering in 107 degrees here in southern Utah. And, man, am I glad that things have cooled off. And nobody's more glad that things have cooled off than Up River Road, out there at the Dairy Farmers of America processing plant, a lot of disgruntled local businesses, residents. Is there anybody that lives out there? I know it's an industrial area. I know Little Valley has kind of punched through that road that now goes out to the back end of Little Valley. Is the scent getting over to Little Valley? I'd love to hear what you guys what's our blast radius? What's our collateral damage of the scent that we're hearing about out at the Dairy Farmers of America processing plant? People saying, quote, it smells like a cross between garbage and sewage out there, the Dairy Farmers. Now, I grew up, I was born in Western New York. I moved to a little farm town in Washington State when I was 13. And I went from suburban Rochester, New York, which is, the suburban, area back in the 80s, late 80s, early 90s was still pretty metropolitan feeling. And then I moved to this little teeny tiny farm town, literally one stoplight, Quincy, Washington. If anybody's been there, now there's two. We didn't have a McDonald's until the mid 90s. I know what the smell of money is. They call the stockyards. You drive by one, they say that's the smell of money. And I'm curious where this scent that's coming from the Dairy Farmers processing plant smells like. All I can say is I'm glad it's not summertime. You guys should be glad it's not summertime. Cause you imagine the scent, multiplied by 107, 108 degrees. All right, let's open the phone. 673-5890, 673-5890. You can text in 435-261-4540. Let's hop on the phones. Good morning. You're live on the air. Who is this?
Are you talking to me?
Yeah, yes, I am. Who's this?
Okay. I just heard, this is Jeffo.
Jeff.
Another friendly observer.
Okay, I'd love to hear your friendly observation, buddy. What do you got?
Okay, for a couple things, you just got done with Jimmy, and ditto on your guys' conversation about things don't turn around on a, government level.
Yep.
Or national level, in a couple months. I just remember, when you mentioned on your talk about, he mentioned the previous administration and everything else from last night.
Yep.
Yeah, it takes time. And then global warming, did you actually bring up that?
What I said is, are people in the, are moderates, moderate conservatives, Are they saying we need the border shut? We need to have you know, all these things. Are conservative moderates, people that are right leaning moderates, going, yeah, there's, I don't want to hand out free welfare to everybody. I want secure borders. But we do need to look at global warming. Maybe do we need to look at global warming? I was kind of quoting, the folks on the middle somewhere in there. What are your thoughts? Tell me your thoughts on it.
Well, it's just, you know, we have geological history for this whole earth, right?
Yep.
And we've been through ice ages.
Yep.
You heard of that?
Yep.
And ice ages happened way before we had drove Suburbans and SUVs.
Yeah, it's true.
So it's just interesting that we and it goes back to the, you know, the economics too. It's like we think everything's going to change on a heartbeat, and I really think we think of us as humans have so much more effect on this planet than we really do. And now that's why, if you listen to the news, that's why I was bringing it up. No more global warming. It's climate change.
Climate change. Right. Right. Well, I call it what it is. You know, it is funny that, you know, we go through this every year, and I feel like every year everybody's like, well, it's the hottest year ever. It's the hottest year ever. You know, we've been, this earth has been around for who knows how many millions of years or whatever, or thousands of years, whatever.
Who knows,
right. And I'm curious, as the time flows, ebbs and flows, you're right, Mother Nature and the atmosphere and the universal powers are definitely in control. And I am curious. That is a good point. I've never really thought of that. What is really, if we zoom out, what is really our impact on the overall blip? Were you just a blip on this radar, you know, where like, well, oh, this is nothing compared to what it was, you know, 10 million years ago. 10 million years ago, gosh, it was way hotter. I don't know, whatever.
Well, hotter or colder, right?
Yeah.
In the 70s or 60s, they were worried about global cooling. and then it changed. I mean, I'm a middle-aged man or whatever, but, you know, I grew up my whole life in high school, elementary school, middle school.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and it was always a fear tactic to try to pressure us to do certain things because we're all going to die.
Right.
And those, you know, from the 80s to the 90s to the 2000s to the 2010s, 12 or 13, it was always 12 or 13 years in advance, we're all going to die. Like,
right.
I mean, if you listen to, Vice President Al Gore. If you listen to Al Gore, in 2000, we were going to be done by 2020, right?
Yeah, so, cooked, right.
So, anyway, and then back to your DFA thing. I did drive down a river road yesterday and smelled the smell. I hope they figure it out.
Okay. Jeff, thanks for calling in, brother.
All right, thanks a lot.
Yeah, it does not pass Jeff's smell test, what's happening up River Road. Man, some great thoughts there, Jeff. I do have a text I want to read from, I believe it's Chad. I had to click back here and find it here. He says he's given up on the Republican Party, but that's a different story for a different day. He said, we're getting widespread sewer-type odors across St. George, not just one neighborhood. Is this a sign of our sewer and wastewater infrastructure being pushed beyond capacity by growth? And what specific fixes and timelines are being implemented to prevent this from becoming a recurring problem? It's a good point. It's a good question. We are going to have Mayor Jimmy Hughes on with us. I believe I have to check the schedule, but coming up, and that's definitely something I want to bring up, because I think this thing happening out River Road is probably just the tip of the iceberg of what's going on down below. Maybe it's just rearing its head. And again, I'm glad it's not 107 degrees out here. You know what I'm saying? I just I know that they've tried to put these industrial plants in industrial areas to try to have low impacts on residents, right? Now, if you're working out there and you, I remember I lived in Charleston, South Carolina for a while, and right along the river, right along the Cooper River, there was a paper plant, they made paper. It was a sawmill, and they made paper, and and it stunk in the wintertime. But in the summer, in the heat and the humidity, driving up over this one bridge where you'd look right down on this paper plant, it would literally stop your conversations. There wasn't enough refresh button on your car. So I'm curious to know what is happening in mitigation from inside the dairy farmers. And is it like Chad said, is it a problem you guys are seeing or smelling other places in the city? Are you guys experiencing? I haven't noticed anything where I live. I thought it was just me that was was the smell. But what can I say? I don't know. I'm curious to see how this goes. If this is I know this was something that popped up back in 2017, and we'll see if this goes away. We'll just get some of those tree air fresheners, and you know, just throw them down the sewers. Don't do that. Come on, don't do that. I am gonna chat with Jimmy Hughes about it though, guys. I'm out, back with you on Monday. I'm taking tomorrow off, taking a very cool humanitarian trip with the St. George Rotary Club to southeastern Utah, to the Navajo Reservation. Excited to do it. We'll have some experiences. We'll talk about all about it coming up on Monday. This is Southern Utah. I'm Dale Desmond. Thanks for joining us. We'll see you Monday.
From the Angelica's Mexican Grill Studio, KDXU St. George, KDXU FM, KDXU FM.